A DC update and news on judicial confirmation battles.
Welcome to J. Sekulow Live, a special presentation from the Middle East. Now, live from Israel, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to the show today. This is actually Drew Ryan. We are sitting here in our D.C. studio. Nathaniel Bennett, who is my deputy of, in government affairs office. And then we are also joined by Jeff Surtees, one of our lawyers in the field. And we want to hear from you today. We're doing a membership drive. Give us a call today at 877-989-2255 or go to the website aclj.org and become a member of the ACLJ today. We're also going to be talking about a lot of issues. In fact, we talked a lot about the Fairness Doctrine yesterday. There was a critical vote yesterday in the House of Representatives. Give us a call. We want to chat with you, our listeners. The number is 800-684-3110. Again, that call-in number is 1-800-684-3110. Now, going back to what we were just chatting about, the Fairness Doctrine, we talked a lot about that yesterday and the push that is being made by some of the liberal voices, more liberal voices in Congress, in the need to bring back what is known as the Fairness Doctrine. And we laid it out yesterday. Basically, if you're going to have a 30-minute show like J. Sekulow Live, then broadcasters are going to be compelled by the government to host another 30 minutes of a, well, let's just say it, a liberal viewpoint to counteract a J. Sekulow Live type talk show. Of course, this is shooting at, if I can say this, the bigger shows like Rush Limbaugh that are on for 3 hours at a time, and then mandating for these broadcasters, if you're going to carry Rush Limbaugh for 3 hours a day, you're going to need to carry an opposing viewpoint for 3 hours a day as well. And I'm going to turn it over to Than Bennett right now, because Than, there are a lot of issues at stake right now. This is something, it's not a new issue. In fact, back in the 80s, the FCC, Congress, President Reagan even vetoed a bill that dealt with the Fairness Doctrine. So yesterday we really did lay down a marker with Mike Pence, the congressman from Indiana, who put out a piece of legislation that said the FCC will be defunded from being able to use any kinds of funds to implement the Fairness Doctrine. Kind of give us an update of what took place yesterday in the House.
Well, you're right, Drew. Like you mentioned, the Fairness Doctrine hasn't been in place since 1987 when the FCC did repeal it, and there is a massive move underway to reinstate it permanently. However, what happened yesterday was the House passed the Financial Services Appropriation Bill, which funds the FCC. Now, the FCC is the entity responsible for implementing the Fairness Doctrine when it's in place. So what happened yesterday is Congressman Mike Pence went to the floor. He dropped an amendment that said for the next fiscal year, the FCC cannot use any money in this bill to re-implement the Fairness Doctrine. So even if the liberal left come back and is able to reinstate the Fairness Doctrine, it won't be able to be implemented in the next year because there won't be any funds available to implement it. So the brilliant thing about this, Drew, is it made members take a stand on this issue right out of the gate. The vote was overwhelming, 309-115, so we won a good first battle.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, Stan, looking at some of the news reports coming from that vote yesterday, and I'll say it because a lot of the voices have been from the Democrat Party. They say, hey, we're not that serious in pursuing the Fairness Doctrine. And I have to tell you, when you see people like Minority Leader and Majority Whip on the Senate side, Dick Durbin, when you see John Kerry, when you see Feinstein, In fact, I was in a meeting with John Dingell's counsel a few weeks ago. He is the current chairman of the Commerce Committee on the House side. Very forceful in their attempts to push on the Fairness Doctrine. There is something afoot. So you're right. That was a huge victory for conservatism, for freedom of speech, because when the FCC handed down their decision in the 1980s, they said the Fairness Doctrine does chill freedom of speech. It will constrain what broadcasters put on the air. But we want to hear from you today. 1-800-684-3110. We're hoping to get Jordan Sekulow on the radio with us. He is in Israel right now. If not, we're going to continue carrying the show. But we're also pushing membership today. If you want to become a member of the ACLJ, call us at 1-877-989-2255. Again, that's 877-989-2255, or go to the website aclj.org. Again, that's aclj.org. And when we come back on this next segment, I'm going to loop in Jeff Surtees, because there are a lot of cases going on out in the field, and Jeff is one of our lawyers out there that is working on a lot of these cases. We see a lot of them crop up from time to time, and like I've said the last few weeks on this radio show, in this 110th Congress, what is going on right now? We have the liberals, we have the left continuing to push their agenda and attempts to really create a sea change in the political landscape here in America as well as in the culture. So we invite you to come right back with us. We'll be right back with you after this break. Talking about freedom.
The road to success requires a good education, and no one knows that better than entrepreneur, global businessman, and publisher Steve Forbes.
The primary driver is the desire for freedom. Freedom of expression, freedom of action, and ultimately the freedom to create.
When it comes to education, Regent University is without parallel. With bachelor's degrees focused on critical areas like organizational leadership and management, global business, psychology, communication, religious studies, and elementary education, you'll learn from the best and the brightest, like Steve Forbes, a guest lecturer at Regent.
What you're going through now, developing the mind, human imagination, sense of adventure, innovation, inventiveness, that is the real source of capital in a society.
Take charge of your future right now. Discover more about Regent undergrad today. Classes are offered online and on campus. For more information or to apply, visit regentundergrad.com or call 1-800-374-4504. That's 1-800-374-4504. Regent undergrad. When you choose Regent, you're choosing to change your life. The ACLU continues to grow.
They want the right to burn the flag. They want to make sure you can protest at a military funeral.
The ACLU is becoming more powerful.
And they're representing rapists and sex offenders so that they have access to where your children are in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Isn't it time you did something about it?
Join with us. We want you as part of our team.
At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is aggressively countering the ACLU in the courts, in Congress, and in the battle for public opinion. Time magazine called the ACLJ, quote, a powerful counterweight to the ACLU. And Business Week labeled the ACLJ, quote, the leading advocacy group for religious freedom. Now you can make a difference. Join the ACLJ today. You'll receive a free DVD entitled Life, Liberty, and the Law. Join the ACLJ right now by calling 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. Or you can sign up online at aclj.org. Join the ACLJ today and get your free DVD, Life, Liberty, and the Law.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Drew Ryan. I direct government affairs here for the ACLJ in Washington, D.C. I'm joined by Than Bennett. He's my deputy in the government affairs office. And also Jeff Surtees, one of our lawyers out in the field, who's going to give us a legal update on some of the cases that he's involved in right now. And as we were chatting before we went to break, it's about the Fairness Doctrine. And, you know, it's kind of interesting to see the political landscape right now. You really have an interesting debate that took place in the Senate, immigration. You had a lot of senators complaining about talk radio misinforming people. And yet if you go back and you look, it was actually these talk radio hosts and their assistants who were actually reading the bill and pointing out glaring flaws in it and then energizing the grassroots, those kinds of the people that listen to talk radio, who in turn contacted their elected officials and said, hey, we don't want you to go in this direction. Because of this whole debate, there has been a new cry by those on the left to bring back the Fairness Doctrine. And as Than explained earlier, this is something that would basically constrain broadcasters, saying if you host 30 minutes of a Jay Sekulow Live, you are immediately going to have to host 30 minutes of something with a more liberal viewpoint so that the American public can hear both sides of a debate. Now, a lot of that centers, Than, around a case in 1969. It's known as the Red Lion case that was decided by the Supreme Court that backed the Fairness Doctrine. Yet in making that decision, the Supreme Court said the only reason we are ruling right now on this case the way that we are is because we feel that there is a scarcity of spectrum. And if there should ever be a lack of a scarcity of spectrum, in essence, if we are where we are today in the information age, this would become an unconstitutional doctrine. What is your take on that one, Than?
Well, you're absolutely right, Drew. In fact, I mean, proponents of the Fairness Doctrine continually point to the 1969 Red Lion case. And in that case, the court definitely did uphold the constitutionality of the Fairness Doctrine. However, they said three things along with that. They said, one, like you've mentioned, that if there was no longer a scarcity of spectrum, that the Fairness Doctrine should go away. They said, two, if public access to information was ever not in jeopardy, as they deemed it to be at the time, the Fairness Doctrine would again be obsolete. And third, they said that if the Fairness Doctrine was ever found to reduce coverage on controversial issues, it should again be repealed. Let's go back to the 1985 report that the FCC put out. All three of these things have happened. The FCC found that it had a chilling effect on speech. They found that there were an abundance of information available to the public. And they found that actually what broadcasters had done was taken the controversial discussions off the air so they didn't have to deal with the legal paperwork involved of creating this balance. So all of the three stipulations that the court put in place we have seen come about today. And therefore, I think we would find that the court would reverse itself on that if they got the case today.
You know, that's exactly right, Than, except, you know, you continue to see, even in light of that, that the Democrats, well, let's say it, the liberals continuing to push for this fairness doctrine. And again, going back to this immigration debate, it's because of talk radio that the American public was informed of what was going on here in Washington, D.C. When they were informed, an informed populace, they began calling their elected officials, and we saw this thing turn around. What was inherently a bad immigration bill that didn't deal with border security first, all of a sudden the American public spoke and the senators backed off, and it was a fantastic victory for those who support border security first. But our phone lines are jamming up. We're getting a lot of phone calls, and we want to hear from you, the listeners. So give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go to Sarah calling in from New York. Sarah, welcome to J Secular Live. This is Drew Ryan in Washington, D.C. What can we chat with you about? Sarah, you're on the air. Well, evidently we've missed Sarah. Let's go to George in Arizona. George, welcome to J Secular Live. This is Drew Ryan.
Good
I'm sitting here in our D.C. Studios. What can we chat with you about?
Well, just, you know, talk radio is awesome because it informs on what's going on, and then the people pay attention, and then we call and say, hey, you know what? This is wrong. You know, don't do that. And then the left or the liberals are saying, you know what? Even though we were voted in, I still want my agenda there. That's what makes talk radio so awesome. That's why our founding fathers came over here to have the free speech and not be ruled by a king.
And that, you know what, George, you make a great point in there. And it talks about, I mean, the Constitution, the unconstitutionality of what the liberals are trying to do with the Fairness Doctrine. And again, you're perfectly right. This whole immigration debate turned around because of talk radio and an informed populace that became aware of what goes in Washington, D.C. And I've got to tell you, that's something that drives the left and the liberals nuts. If any of you were following, just a few weeks ago, MSNBC came out with a new study that showed that 9-1, those who consider themselves mainstream media, by a ratio of 9-1, gave to liberal and left-wing causes, whether those be elected officials or causes themselves. So when the liberals are out there talking about we need to re-implement the Fairness Doctrine, they are simply trying to muzzle conservative talk radio because they are tired of being called on the carpet for the agenda that they are trying to push behind the scenes here in Washington, D.C. But I want to go to Jeff Surtees because I know, Jeff, you've got a little bit of a legal update for us. You're involved in a lot of cases out there for us, both litigating these cases, writing briefs. What is going on right now on your table right now, Jeff, and what you can tell our listeners about what you're involved in?
Sure thing there, Drew. Yeah, right now, right on my tables, physically speaking, we're working on two what we consider to be pretty important cases. Heard earlier this week, we had a meeting with a pharmacist up in Ohio who was fired by a national retail pharmacy because of his refusal to dispense Plan B, to dispense the morning after pill. We believe, from the facts that we know right now, that his rights under Title VII, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which requires an employer's respect and accommodate the religious beliefs of their employees, was violated here. He was able to refer the Plan B pill out to other pharmacists there in the workplace with no problems from the pharmacists, from the customers, no problems at all. But when the national head got word that he was doing this, well, they had to clamp down on him. And they clamped down on him, all right, by firing him. So we're working up that case. We're all set to pursue that thing aggressively. We're also got right here on my desk, we're working on a case up in Michigan, where, believe it or not, in order to celebrate the 4th of July, we have an evangelist who wants to go preach the gospel message. Well, on this small town in Michigan, they're telling him that he cannot do that without permission of the city administrator. And guess what? The city administrator did not give their permission. This is an outrageous violation of the free speech clause of the First Amendment, and we're aggressively pursuing that situation as well. You know, and not a day goes by where we don't hear from someone, whether California, Texas, Michigan, Ohio, wherever, where religious beliefs are being suppressed one way or another, either in the private employment arena or by the government.
Jeff, you know, just you guys continue to do great work out there, and I want to tell our listeners again, the effectiveness of the ACLJ here in D.C., it is unparalleled because we have great lawyers like Jeff Surtees who were able to argue and litigate these cases, put together great briefs for us, and then give Than and me the ability to take these briefs, these memos around, to be able to go with strong legal arguments to House and Senate staffers and say, this is what the Constitution says. This is what our memos say on this issue. We want to be able to give you the firepower so that you can give your boss talking points, so that they can speak out in an informed way when they debate on the House floor against the left and against the liberal agenda. So, Jeff, we just want to thank you for everything you're doing in the field. Like I said, we've got plenty of calls that are coming in right now. If you want to chat with us today, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Julianne in Ohio. Julianne, thanks for calling in to Jay Sekulow Live. Welcome to the air. This is Drew Ryan here in D.C. What can we chat with you about?
Well, if I lose you, it's my cell phone. I'm just curious, will this work in both directions, this fairness doctrine, if they implement it? For instance, when, say, Oprah has Marianne Williamson with her usual feel-good drivel, will conservatives get to respond on that channel?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, Julianne, more of the argument along these lines, and to be honest with you, the agenda of the left, it's really more to shut down conservative talk radio. If you look at what the left did in trying to bring their own radio show and programming with Air America, it failed. Why is that? Because the American public inherently does not agree with the liberal agenda that the left wants to push. And, Than, you know, that's a debate that we have. What will happen if the fairness doctrine is implemented? Will it cut both ways? Is it really the goal of the left to make it a more fair and balanced argument out there on the broadcasting airwaves?
Well, the other side, you know, certainly says that that is their agenda, is to make both sides heard. Two things on that, Drew. First, who's going to determine what is a controversial issue? The issues that are controversial issues are the ones that we bring to you. They're life issues, they're marriage issues, they're family issues. So those are the issues that are going to trigger the fairness doctrine. Now, the second part about this is there is nothing currently that keeps these guys from going on the air. In fact, they've been on the air, but the problem is when they go on the air, first of all, listeners tune out. Second of all, people don't buy ads. So therefore, they have not been successful on the air because their message has not rung true with the American people. Now, the interesting part about this, Drew, part of the fairness doctrine says if you have to put on the other side of an issue and you cannot find people to buy ads to support that airtime, the broadcaster must put that programming on the air at his own expense. So we're not only talking about government-mandated speech, we're talking about government-mandated funding of speech from private entities. So what's going to happen? These broadcasters are going to simply pull the conservative message off the air.
Well, and that's, folks, that's, you know, I want to tell listeners again, these are the fights that we fight every day here in Washington, D.C., and that's why it's so critical for you to become a member of the ACLJ. Give us a call at 877-989-2255 to become a member of the ACLJ, or go to aclj.org and sign up online and become a member of the ACLJ today. Like I said, we are doing effective work here in Washington, D.C. It is only because of the support that we get from you, the listeners, that we are able to do what we do. And I want to thank you for all the support that you've given on these petition drives, for the call-ins, for what you do out there in the field. But we want you to come back and join us again. We're going to come back in another segment. We're going to be talking about some new judicial confirmation battles that are right on the horizon after this July 4th break. We're also going to keep talking about the Fairness Doctrine. We're going to talk with Jeff Cerutis again about some more legal updates. We'll be right back with you.
The ACLU, a threat to our freedom, a threat to our way of life. The ACLU is committed to rewriting history and our Constitution. They want to strip our nation of its religious heritage, and they want to censor your right to speak out freely about your religious faith. They oppose the posting of the Ten Commandments and are fighting to remove the Mount Soledad War Memorial Cross in San Diego. They oppose our nation's efforts to combat terrorism, and the ACLU is fighting to keep abortion legal, even opposing the national ban on partial birth abortion. At the direction of Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow, the American Center for Law and Justice is aggressively countering the ACLU in the courts, in Congress, and in the battle for public opinion. Stand up to the ACLU and join the ACLJ today. You'll receive a free DVD entitled Life, Liberty, and the Law. Join the ACLJ now by calling 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or sign up online at aclj.org. Join the ACLJ today and get your free DVD, Life, Liberty, and the Law.
Regent Law School is training Christian lawyers to change the world.
Jay Sekulow, Chief Counsel of the American Center for Law and Justice. He knows the value of an education at Regent University, and he knows Regent School of Law is much more than just an educational institution.
Regent is unique in that it offers the highest quality of legal education from a Christian perspective, and we never sacrifice intellectual integrity.
If you're considering a career in the law, it's time for you to consider Regent Law School. Regent Law School is distinctive because it integrates the study of law with biblical principles. Regent believes that law is more than just a profession. It's a calling. The time to apply right now. If you would like more information about the School of Law at Regent University or would like to enroll, call this toll-free number, 1-877-267-5072. That's 1-877-267-5072. There's more information online at regent.edu/law. Regent Law School, training Christian lawyers to change the world.
I will fight for the right to live in free.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Drew Ryan coming to you from our studios here in Washington, D.C., joined by Than Bennett. He's my deputy here in the Government Affairs Office, as well as Jeff Surtees, one of our lawyers in the field, who just gave us a little bit of a legal update. We're going to go back to him in a little bit and get a little bit more of an update, but also talk about something that's on the front burner right now as we head towards the July 4th recess, and that's the Fairness Doctrine. We want to hear from you, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. We also want to encourage you to become a member of the ACLJ. It's free. Give us a call at 877-989-2255 or go to the website aclj.org and put your name down and become a member of the ACLJ. But I know we've got a lot of phone calls coming in. In fact, the lines are jammed. I want to go to Maria in New Jersey. Maria, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for calling in. What can we chat with you about today?
Right. It's about that doctrine. Did I hear you right that the liberal stations will not be required to give same airtime to conservatives, since a conservative...
No, not at all. What we were basically saying is when you look at when the liberals have made a big push to get into talk radio, you've got the established shows like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the conservative shows. When the liberals have made a similar push to get into talk radio with their project like Air America, it has failed and failed miserably. What we're seeing now is, knowing that it's failed and failed miserably, the liberals and their friends in Congress now want to reinstitute government-mandated Fairness Doctrine, which basically tells broadcasters you will need to carry equal time on issues. And as Than Bennett has talked about, and I want to bring Than back in on this issue, is not only will it not be fair, not only will it not restore balance to the debate, in fact, it will constrain. And the FCC said in 1985, Than, that this will in effect chill First Amendment speech when it comes to talking about issues over the broadcast airwaves.
That's absolutely right, Drew. In fact, I want to go to three points that the 85 FCC report made. First of all, they said this has had a chilling effect on speech in America. They said the Fairness Doctrine, as it has been implemented, has reduced the amount of diverse views that have been made available to the public. Further, they said that it had discouraged the airing of unorthodox opinions or minority opinions or just unpopular opinions, really any opinion. And finally, they said that it has placed the government in the role of censoring content of programming. So rather than doing what the left has said they're trying to do and making it a broad, open debate, it actually constrained it by pulling those messages off the air.
Well, you know what, Than, you make a great point. And a lot of people are calling in on this issue, so I want to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Lorraine in Washington. Lorraine, thanks for calling in to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to comment on this Fairness Doctrine issue. You know, I just don't see how anyone can even possibly expect the American public to believe that we need some sort of balance because, you know, in our free market system, that's what it's all about. You know, the consumer demand, things that the American people support are the ones that succeed. And to me, this is just sort of a blatant example of trying to foist different views on the public when we don't want it. For example, I know in New England there have been instances where schools are in sports teams are not allowed to, you know, run up scores because they don't want to hurt the feelings of the other team. And this whole idea that everything has to be equal, you know, it's just very dangerous, I think, in our society.
You're right. You know what, Lorraine, you're making some great points. And I want to turn to Jeff Surtees because, Jeff, you and I were talking off air on this one. The Fairness Doctrine makes some basic presuppositions about the American people. And you know what? If we saw nothing else during this immigration debate, it's that the American people are much smarter than the politicians in Washington, D.C. give them credit for.
That's exactly right, Drew. I mean, the Fairness Doctrine, let's be honest about this, is premised on the belief that the American people are stupid, that they lack the intelligence and resources to seek out an opinion different from one they might hear on the radio or one they might see on television. You know, that's even assuming they want or desire an opposing opinion. You know, Drew, when I listen to Christian radio, I know full well I'll be listening to radio, you know, which is broadcast from a Christian perspective. Similarly, when I see Bill Moyers on television, you know, I know I'm going to be watching television from a Bill Moyers liberal perspective. You know, if I don't like what Bill Moyers has to say, which is about 100% of the time, I turn him off. Or I can think for myself, you know, why he's wrong. Or I can seek out opinions different than his. What I don't need is the federal government requiring that an anti-Bill Moyers be given a platform to give an opposing opinion. The American people can think for themselves. And that's exactly the point that Lorraine is making here. You know, let the free marketplace of ideas and speech run its course. When the government starts getting involved in regulating core political protected speech, nothing good can come from it.
You know what? You're exactly right, Jeff. And let's go back to the phones. I know we're getting a lot of people calling in on this issue. Let's go to Mike calling from New York. Mike, thanks for calling into Jay Sekulow Live. What can we chat with you about?
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. And right along the lines of that young lady, Lorraine, that made a mention, my point was this. It comes down to a very simple argument if I was a lawyer in court. Radio is a place of business. If I want to sell, if I want to open up a bakery and sell just chocolate cake, I should not be required because the guy down the block doesn't like that I'm out selling his vanilla pies, and I have to now sell vanilla cupcakes at my store. If you want vanilla cupcakes, you go to his store. You want chocolate cupcakes, you come to my store. And that's the end of it. Why is it even an argument?
Well, you know, Mike, you make some great points. And on its face value, at the surface level, it seems like a very easy argument to understand. And yet the left wants to continue pushing this because they feel that they do not get a fair shake when conservative talk radio begins talking about the agenda that they want to push. They want to be able to mandate that the American people have to listen to their message. I would say that they have plenty of other resources, other outlets where they can be heard on their issues. They've tried it with Air America. In what we are now calling the information age, with the internet and all these cable channels, they have plenty of opportunities. There is no need for them to mandate something and bring back something like the Fairness Doctrine. But I want to go back to the phones. Let's take it from Robert from Florida. Robert, thanks for calling in to Jay Sekulow Live. What can we chat with you about today?
A couple of points. I've been listening to what you guys have been talking about. One is I've been writing to my congressman for years, and I asked him one time, why does everything go so far to the left? He said, the only people they hear from are people on the left. He goes, you need to tell everybody you know that they need to contact, they need to write the congressmen, senators, let them know what's going on, how they feel. That's the first point. Second point is, as a Christian radio station, if you're airing Christian broadcasts, that technically means, with the Fairness Doctrine, that you'd have to air other things, such as satanic verses and things like that, correct?
That is correct. It will be mandated that you have an opposing view on these subjects. And Robert, I want to thank you for calling in, and you make some great points. And I want to encourage our listeners, Than and I, when we do our government relations work, when we meet with these various House offices and Senate offices, when it comes time for a petition drive, when we hear from you, I'm telling you, our job becomes that much easier. When we can walk in with thousands of names on a petition and say, these are your constituents speaking to you on this issue. We are carrying your banner into those offices. That has a tremendous effect on these congressional offices. And I want to echo again what Robert was talking about. Your congressional representatives, your senators, they need to hear from you on various issues. The left has been far more effective at raising noise on these issues. We need to start hearing from you more and more. And we saw that. I think the shot over the bow on that was the immigration debate. And when senators heard from their conservative constituents, they began to realize, hey, maybe this isn't an issue that we should pursue. I want to thank those of you who have joined us for tuning in. I want to encourage you to join us next week as we come back. We're going to be talking more about the Fairness Doctrine. And as the left continues to push this agenda, things that we can do, practical steps that we can take to continue to win these fights here in Washington, D.C. We had a tremendous victory going back a few weeks on the grassroots lobbying issue. That was because we heard from you. That was because we were able to couch the terms in a constitutional argument. And that's why I have to give props again to our ACLJ lawyers for being able to frame the debate in such a way that we are able to win these debates, that we're able to get recognition from John Conyers, chairman of the Judiciary Committee, for the ability to win on the grounds of the constitutionality of an issue or the unconstitutionality of an issue. We're going to be talking more about the judicial confirmation battles. It looks like those things are going to be heating up again, with the left trying to block good conservative judges who have been nominated by the president to take their place on circuit court seats. So tune in next week and continue to get updates from us. We want to thank you for joining. And while we have a chance, I want to encourage you, become a member of the ACLJ. Give us a call at 877-989-2255. Become a member today, or go to the website, acLJ.org, and become a member today.